And years after the introduction of medicines that would revolutionize sexual ability for men, there is still nothing available for all women.
There are no FDA-approved medications for hypoactive sexual desire disorder.
If we look at the statistics comparing women to men, the results show that 43% of women had sexual problems and 31% of men had sexual problems.
We're doing a large disservice to women because we know that women face sexuality problems far more frequently than men do.
Now a new breed of mostly female researchers and clinicians is coming ever closer to finding the key to women's sexual response. And some of the answers are raising eyebrows.
In the past, women have sort of been ignored and dismissed by being told, oh, honey, it's all in your head. With regard to sexual desire and hypoactive sexual desire, in fact, it is all in our heads.
And more specifically, in the brain. Not only is the brain the center of our thoughts and emotions, but it's also home to chemicals that play a role in female sexual response.
We've always thought that women were the compilation of their hormones, their estrogen, their progesterone, their testosterone. Clearly, those things have very much to do with a woman's sexual behavior. But what we're just starting to understand is that there are chemicals in the brain beyond hormones, chemicals like dopamine and serotonin, norepinephrine, epinephrine, oxytocin. These are chemicals in the brain that really guide us in our behavior, and particularly in pleasure-seeking behavior, like sex.
Some of these chemicals, neurotransmitters and hormones, are thought to help excite and stimulate sexual response, while others inhibit it. And while the research is ongoing, experts currently believe that an imbalance between these chemicals may be what is causing HSDD.
Neurotransmitters and hormones actually interact. So if one's off kilter, it can affect the other. So, you know, we're a little bit complicated.
Even Freud admitted that he couldn't figure out what women want. But today's scientists have new tools at their disposal that might help. And they're using them to find the answers to the complexities of a woman's desire. Dr. Leia Millhiser is a clinical assistant professor of obstetrics and gynecology and the director of the Female Sexual Medicine Program at Stanford University Medical Center.
I went into women's health specifically because I had an interest in female sexuality. And I just noticed from a very young age, it seemed like male sexuality was just the main topic. And we rarely talked about the issues that were affecting women.
So here we go. So take a deep breath in and blow it out.
Millhiser and her team knew that by using functional magnetic resonance imaging, or fMRI, scientists have already discovered a number of regions in the brain that kick in when people do feel sexual desire. Two of them, the amygdala, which orchestrates powerful emotions, and the hippocampus, which manages our memories, are in the temporal lobe. A third area that lights up in women with desire is the anterior insula, a part of the brain associated with self-reflection. And finally, the hypothalamus, where sexual desire is activated by a neurotransmitter called dopamine. But Dr. Millhiser wanted to understand what's happening in the brains of women who have little or no desire. So in the first study of its kind, Millhiser's team used fMRI to compare the brain activation patterns of women with HSDD to those who don't have it. The women in the study were premenopausal and ranged in age from 18 to 30 years old. They had similar education levels and hormone levels. All of them were in relationships. The fMRI can capture an image of the working brain down to about 1/20th of an inch in just a couple of seconds, and then allows researchers to map out specific areas of activity in the brain related to a certain task.
We took both groups of women and we subjected them to a scan in the functional MRI machine. And they essentially laid down the machine and they had a console above their head. And during the 21-minute scan, they were actually watching different video segments. They were watching a relaxing video segment of just waterfalls and trees and nice scenery. They would watch women's sports. And they would watch an erotic scene. And the whole idea was to see if there was a difference between the women who had no sexual dysfunction and the women who had hypoactive sexual desire disorder. So what we found is that there was a very big difference. These are slices. These are images that are generated from functional MRI, and these areas in color are the areas that were activated in the brain, specifically while watching the erotic video. The blue area is for the HSDD group. The orange or yellow area down here are the women who did not have sexual dysfunction. We found something very new. We found that women who were healthy lit up in an area called the entorhinal cortex, which has to do with being able to retrieve or lay down emotional memories. What we saw with the women who had HSDD was that they lit up in three specific areas. So the areas in blue are the areas that were significantly enhanced or activated in the HSDD group of women. The first one is an area called the medial frontal gyrus. Now, that area has to do with spectatoring. So it's as if they're leaving their body and they're watching themselves and they're asking themselves, how am I doing here? It's an area of self-focus. The second area that they lit up is an area called the right inferior frontal gyrus. Now, that area has to do with making judgment on their emotional response or suppression of emotional response. And so if you put those two areas of the brain together, it's as if they're stepping out of their body and they're making judgments. The third area that lit up in the brain is an area called the putamen. So that area is associated with looking at certain facial expressions, in certain instances, finding facial expressions contemptuous.
In Dr. Millhiser's study, the participants who didn't have HSDD were able to relate what they were seeing to positive experiences, whereas the women with HSDD were judging themselves and their experience, and as a result, were unable to connect or be in the moment. Where will this research lead? Dr. Millhiser hopes it will lead to additional treatment options so women who have low or no sexual desire can get the help they need.
This is a real physiologic problem. And now that we have this data available, we can really go after understanding more about this region of the brain, how it relates to HSDD, and where we can go in terms of finding ways to treat it.
In the meantime, though, what's a woman to do? It all starts with a conversation. Sexual health experts say a woman who has decreased desire that negatively affects her life should start by having a healthy conversation with her partner and her doctor. But in the past, that's been a challenge. HSDD is largely underdiagnosed, not only because patients are embarrassed to talk about it, but because most physicians are too.
Their physicians have not had any training in how to evaluate, diagnose, or treat low desire. So they've been blown off, they've been patronized, they've been given suggestions such as have a glass of wine, rent a video, go away on a vacation, but they haven't been really given any good suggestions for long-term improvement of their libido. No doctor has the right to deny a woman what she wants out of life, and including that is her own sexual health. And have you found that it has slowly decreased over time?
Dr. Andrew Goldstein is the co-author of Reclaiming Desire, Four Keys to Finding Your Lost Libido. Some of his advice is the same whether the patient has a diagnosis of HSDD or just a temporary decrease in desire.
We feel that treating the whole woman and the relationship is absolutely essential. So we test hormones, and if appropriate, we supplement. And we get women involved in counseling, either by themselves, individual counseling, or couples counseling.
Make a commitment to do that.
And this is not long-term psychotherapy. This can be one or two or three or four visits.
Can you do that? Yeah. All right, excellent, very good.
We have now begun to bring female sexual disorders and hypoactive sexual desire disorder out of the closet. The first step in being able to treat it is to label it, to know you have it, and to know that there's places where you can get help.
Women with HSDD or women with low libido or any sexual complaint in general really need to empower themselves to feel like if your doctor doesn't ask you about a sexual problem or a sexual complaint during a visit, you should absolutely feel justified, and you should in every case tell the doctor if you have a problem. If your clinician feels uncomfortable, then simply ask, can you please refer me to someone in our area who treats sexual dysfunction or who treats issues related to low libido? Because in almost every city, in almost every area, there is someone who's identified themselves as a sexual health practitioner for women.
The World Health Organization, the WHO, has said that sexual health is a basic human right, and that it is up to the healthcare provider to be responsible for taking care of their sexual health concerns.
Sexual health is being in a good, healthy relationship that has minimal conflict and there's a connection. Sexual health is feeling good about yourself, feeling that you're a desirable person and that you're a lovable person as well. And sexual health is also feeling desirous.
I want to go to Tunisia. It's on my list.
Although her journey continues, Jeanette has learned a few things along the way, things that might help other women who are in the same situation. One of them is to keep trying.
Oh, you have to. I mean, unless you're willing to just settle and think this is normal and that's the way it's going to be for the rest of your life. You know, talk to your girlfriends, ask if they have the same issues, ask what they're doing, talk to your doctor, talk to your OBGYN. I mean, you got to keep asking, because if you don't, then you're stuck. And that's not healthy for you or your spouse.
Feeling desire and being desired are integral parts of being human. The link between a woman's mind, her desires, and her sexual health is crucial to her overall health and well-being. But when that link is broken, a part of the person is broken too. And experts think that when the connection between the brain and the body is not working properly, it may rob a woman of her desire. But that very same connection also has the ability to bring it back again, rediscovering a joy that is an essential part of being human.
I have sexual energy. I have this overall feeling of well-being that I didn't have for a long time.